Tuesday night, November the 22nd, and our praise and worship team will be here doing praise and worship, and so I want to encourage you to come and support the community Thanksgiving service. And then I wrote an article on the back about the Ministry of Helps, so make sure you read that this morning. Amen. And this is your word for today. Arise, arise, there is a new day dawning. Look, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Let go of the old and embrace the new. For it is in the new my blessing shall flow. No room, no room in the old wineskin. Make room, yes, make room for the fresh wine from heaven. It is flowing freely. Will you receive?
Yes.
Amen, Martha. I agree with you. Come and draw near to me, for it is my heart I want you to see. No longer be held back of how you want things to be. When things of life don't work out as you expect it, or when things turn in a wrong direction, when my promises to you seem long in coming, don't allow the spirit of discouragement to steal your joy.
Yes.
Seek me and you will find me. Oh, say, my people, I will show you the way. Don't allow the dread of tomorrow steal your joy of today. You know, you heard people say, I dread tomorrow. I don't dread tomorrow. It's a new day. God's mercies will be new in the morning. Tomorrow could be the day that of that expectation, that manifestation to happen. Amen. So don't allow the dread of tomorrow steal your joy of today. We don't have yesterday, we don't have tomorrow, but we have now.
Yeah.
Amen. Rest in my presence and rest in my peace. For in due season you reap if you do not lose heart. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning and lift our hands and shake off all that stuff that may have happened this morning, that stuff that happened yesterday. We've entered into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has opened wide the doors this morning as Brad plays us some music. We're going to enter into the presence of the Lord. We're going to just close your eyes and enter into the presence of the Lord this morning and ask him to speak to your heart. And I believe that you will leave here not like you came, in Jesus' name. It's a new day, church. New opportunities. And Father, we just encourage ourselves in you this morning as we enter into your courts with praise and with thanksgiving, knowing that you are still God and you are still on the throne and you are in control of all things. And we put our trust in you today, Father. We thank you today for strengthening our pastors, God. We hold up their arms in prayer today and we speak health over them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, as your presence enters into that hospital room.
Amen.
That they are encouraged today.
Yes.
By the worship of songs and by the ministry of your word today. And I decree and declare over you, church, that you will not leave this place like you came, in Jesus' name. But I break the spirit of discouragement that is over you. And by the time you leave here today, you will leave this place knowing of a surety that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength to do it.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight.
you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel alone,
Against us. Amen. We're going to take up our offering now. Hallelujah. We've got an opportunity to give to the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just count your tithes and offerings today blessed. God opens up for you the windows of heaven and pours out many blessings for you. Amen. And I count you a blessed people today. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You can go ahead and take up the offering.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Good.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers.
Amen. There we go. I want to read something before we dismiss the classes this morning. When God gave Pastor and them the vision to start a church, they gave him a scripture in Isaiah that has not changed. Amen. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon New Life for the nations. That includes you because you've chosen this to be your house of worship. Because the Lord has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And we will be called oaks of righteousness. They will be called oaks of righteousness. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in the riches you will boast. Instead of shame, my people will receive double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Amen. That's the word for you today. You've been anointed to take the gospel as an ambassador to the world. Amen. Classes can be dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your word that's anointed, that we have ears to hear and to receive that word today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're going to talk a little bit today on discouragement. I woke up the other night to hearing the words, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And as I was beginning to think on that, I just wanted to share for a few moments today on how do we get over discouragement. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The Amplified Bible starts reading that off as, therefore we do not become discouraged, spiritless, disappointed, or afraid. You know, there is a plague seems to go around of discouraged people nowadays. And if we're not careful, it can be contagious. Amen? So we may not be able to isolate ourselves from the spirit of discouragement that comes from the news media, or from people that we're surrounded by, but we can insulate ourselves from it. Amen. You know, you can't isolate yourself from the cold weather because it's going to happen. But you can insulate yourself from it by putting layers of clothes on. Uh-huh. Amen? So we can insulate ourselves from discouraged people by having ourselves clothed in the garment of praise, knowing who we are in God. Because discouragement is going to come into our lives, and we are going to be around discouraged people. But God says, I provided a way out for you. Discouraged means to feel less motivated, confident, or optimistic. And what the Lord spoke to me was that discouragement comes in our lives because our expectation of something didn't happen at the time we wanted it to or when we wanted to. So therefore, we lose heart and get discouraged and quit believing, and then it never happens. Amen? So discouraged means to feel less motivated, confident or optimistic. And I'm sure everybody in here can think of something that God has spoken to you or something you was promised by somebody, and it's not happened, but yet you became discouraged because it didn't happen. But aren't you glad that our God is not on a time frame?
Amen.
That he operates in a different realm than we are, than we do, but he has called us to operate in that level of realm, and it's called the supernatural. Amen. So when the letters D-I-S are before a word, I'm not an English teacher now, but when the letter D-I-S, dis, are placed before a word, the word means is not, opposite, or reverse. So if you are discouraged, then God calls you to be encouraged or to be of courage. So when we are discouraged, we have lost our courage to believe. We have lost our courage not to be afraid. We have lost our courage not to stand up and says, this is what your word says, God, and I choose to believe what your word says. You know, so if something D-I-S is for the word, before a word, take that and turn it around. And it means the opposite of what it's saying. So courage means the ability to face danger, difficulty, uncertainty, or pain without being overcome by fear or being deflected from a chosen course of action. God has anointed you today. Remember last Sunday he kept emphasizing to us that the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah is within you. So when you begin to realize and receive that anointing, that there is a roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah in you, that will bring courage to you. And you can begin to speak into the atmosphere some things and cause that atmosphere to change around you. Because you are the prophet of your own life. Thank God for those that gives us words of encouragement and stuff. But get along with God and begin to prophesy to yourself. Not gloom and doom, but begin to prophesy to yourself what the word says. So courage means the ability to face danger, difficulty, uncertainty, or pain without being overcome by fear or being afraid. This is happening, so it must be the end of me, or the end of the promise of God, or the end of the dream. But when you are anointed with courage, you can say, tell yourself right now, I am anointed with courage. Amen. Then no matter the times of disappointments and discouragement comes in our life, we will not fear and we will not dread it. Amen? Because we know that we're anointed with courage to see us through that situation. So to lose heart causes us to become discouraged. To become discouraged is to lose your joy. Because when you are discouraged, you're not motivated. You don't have joy. You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And to lose your joy is to lose your strength. And the Word tells us that the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. So if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your strength. Amen. Because strength comes from joy. What is joy? Joy is knowing who you are in the Lord. Joy is knowing that if God did it before, he'll do it again. Joy is knowing that he done it for the people in the Bible that were discouraged, then he's going to do it from you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not lose heart. You will reap in due season if you faint not, if you don't give up, if you keep on keeping on. Another word that God gave us last Sunday is, I've anointed you with staying power. I think it was last Sunday. God told us that he is anointing us with staying power. He has anointed you with enduring power to endure to the end to see whatever he's promised you come to pass. Amen. So you've got to begin to see yourself from heaven's perspective. Amen. And not from your circumstance perspective. Because when you get a heaven's view of things, you're standing up here looking down on that which is trying to come against you, and that's what you're walking through. So to lose your joy is to lose your strength, and the Word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the greatest enemy of our soul sometimes can be emotions. But God gave us emotions so that we would have feelings. But emotions that are out of control are of the enemy, and he can use that which God has given us for good and turn it into evil. And turn it against us. God has given us emotions, but they have to be reined in by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we become discouraged, the greatest enemy of our emotions can be discouragement. Amen. It can be discouragement. And discouragement is then played out in our emotions. So we have to speak to our soul. Why are you disquieted within me, O soul? Why are you discouraged within me? You have to speak to yourself what God says. You have to speak to yourself what the Word says. Speak to your heart. Speak to your soul. Oh, soul, oh, flesh, this is what the Word says. It says that God is for me, not against me. It says that I am an overcomer, that I will not be defeated. Yes, trials and things come along in life. We do get hit by the fiery darts of the enemy. But discouragement comes when our expectation of something is not fulfilled. So whether you're going through a spiritual battle today, whether it's something physical, I'm telling you, it's hard not to become discouraged when you wake up with pain every day. It's hard not to become discouraged when the balance in your bank is not equaling out to what your bills are to pay. You know, those things can be discouraging because this is real life and we're called to walk out this life. But praise be to God, we have a helper. We have a more than that lives inside of us that says that you can overcome if you will not become discouraged and lose your courage and become fearful in the face of that opposition. So our emotions are given to us by God. He wants us to feel things, but our emotions must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because if we allow discouragement to begin to run rampant in our lives, you know what happens after that? After a while, depression sets in. And depression can be a very severe stronghold in your life that sometimes you have to get deliverance from it. Amen. So if you don't rein that emotion of discouragement in and quit allowing it to run rampant in your life, then you will become depressed. And then once you become depressed, it opens up a whole thing of different kinds of feelings in your life. But God. But God, amen. God has anointed you with encouragement today, and courage to see this thing comes. So discouragement, as I said before, comes in our lives when things don't happen as we expect it or when we expect it. Remember the word that God gave us at the first of the service? It tells us to no longer be held back of how you want things to be. And there's nothing wrong with desiring for things to be turned out a particular way. But when we leave God out of the equation of how we want things to turn out and it don't turn out the way we want to, and we've not gotten God's perspective on the situation, we can't become discouraged because it hasn't turned out the way that we have made up our minds to believe that it can. So it says when things turn in a wrong direction. Have you ever believed God for something and it turned totally the opposite direction of what you just knew that it was going to? You can't become discouraged. It says when my promises seem a long time coming, you can't become discouraged because we're all in this flesh as long as we're here on this earth. We have to get to the point to where our spirit man overrules and overrides our flesh. And it is possible. And he goes on to say, don't allow the spirit of discouragement to steal your joy. Why? Because of the joy of the Lord is your strength. So just like God's great servants in the Bible, we also can become discouraged at times. And I just want to go through some quick things here this morning. See what I need to start at. Let's just go ahead and read through some of this that I've wrote down. And Exodus chapter 17, the word tells us, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men, go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. And I want to go through this because we all need each other in the body of Christ. Yes. Pastors need you in the body of Christ to hold their arms up. We need each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord to hold our arms up, because at times when we may not be going through everything and everything is good for us, doesn't mean the person sitting next to us is having that same kind of week. Amen. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, which is his way of saying that God gave to Joshua and Joshua's people victory in prayer, through prayer, by prayer, holding up the hand of God. Moses' servant. Prayer changes things, church. So through the scriptures, when we begin to read through the scriptures, God repeats over and over again and wants his people to know not to lean upon their own understanding or upon their own strength, but always lean upon the ableness of God that is within you that can help you overcome discouragement. So let's go through this Gideon story here. Amen. So we have the story of Gideon. In his first call, he had by his side 32,000 men. And the Lord said, Gideon, that's too many. Now God says it's too many when Gideon has his 32,000. And we see the host of the Midianites may be numbered 100,000 or 200,000. The Bible says the number like the dust of the ground. So Gideon's little tiny army numbered about 22,000. But God said, that's still too big. See, it don't take but a few people. It don't take numbers to conquer. It takes just a few people believing God and holding each other's arms up to see God's will come to pass. Amen. But God said, it's too big, for the people will say, my own hand has gotten me the victory. It's too large, too many. So Gideon sent back those who were afraid. It sounds like some of those folks got discouraged, lost their courage, and became afraid. Amen. So they numbered 22,000. 22,000 of them went home. That's a lot of people. So that left him 10,000. God said to Gideon, it's still too large and too big. Judges 7, we read he had never had but 300 left. We read he never had but 300 left. So God was seeking to let the people, his people, know that victory pertains to heaven and not the strength in numbers. Amen. Like I said a while ago, it doesn't take but two people. And it doesn't take but one person, really, for you to come into agreement with the Holy Ghost and the plan of God. Amen. But two people. Hallelujah. So victory is not in the large numbers. Victory is just in a few people getting together and begin to pray to see God's will get done. So don't allow the vast majority to say that they can win. It's just a few people that will hold each other's arms up in prayer and say that we can overcome this and we can do this. In 1 Samuel 17, you find the same thing with David, the story of David and Goliath. David, just a teenage lad, come against the greatest champion of the armies, or so they said. And you said, David said, you come to me with a shield and with a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, whom you defied. That day, David overwhelmed what the people thought that he could not. Amen. If you're discouraged, you can overcome that, even if you may tell yourself you can't. All through the Bible, God reinforces over and over again of how to have faith in him, and the enabling power is believing in him that can do it. It goes all the way through the book. You have the same story of how Isaiah and Hezekiah. Hezekiah, little Jerusalem, is surrounded by the fierce, triumphant, and marching army of Assyria. And what could Hezekiah and his little band of people do in the face of so great a victorious army? Isaiah sent word, in Isaiah 30, it says, Isaiah sent word to Hezekiah. When Hezekiah prayed, there's that word prayed again, church. And Isaiah said, Lord, thus saith the Lord, in returning and in you rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence be your strength. Amen. So sometimes when we get discouraged, we just need to get alone with God and take a little rest and quit trying to figure it all out. And say that in the quietness and stillness, God will instill confidence in you again. Amen. And he will cause you to be encouraged again, to get back up and to continue on. And it says, that night an angel of the Lord passed over the vast, encompassing, surrounding armies. Isaiah 37, 36 says, and in the morning, 185,000 of the choice soldiers of the Syrian army lay dead upon the ground. Jerusalem, just that same thing, that they believe that the victory lies in the hands of God. Amen. That is where your victory lays, church, from discouragement, is in the hands of God. God is saying to us today, though we be few in numbers, we're to continue to lean upon Him. We are continue to look to Him. Exodus 17, we read, for God makes the victory of Israel not on the bravery of the soldiers and not on the skill of the commanding general, but upon a man who stands on top of the hill with his hands lifted up to God in prayer and intercession. Paul tells us that all these things happen in the lives of these people so they would be an example to us. Just as they walk through their life with all these discouragements, we walk through this life also. And it says those people in the Bible, great men and women of faith, has been given to us as an example to say, hey, you can make it. They were discouraged and they overcame. Right. Amen. So we will have opportunities to be discouraged. It's going to happen. So we can go back and be encouraged by the stories and examples that God has set forth in the Bible. The children of Israel had been out of Egypt only but a few days. And having just come out of Egypt, and in Exodus 17 it says they came to a place called R-E-P-H-I-D-I-M. That word. And Amalek fought with Israel, and they just experienced the deliverance of the Red Sea. And on the other side of the Red Sea from Egypt, the word tells us they were fed with manna from heaven. They were given water to drink out of the rock. And they said, oh, we can begin to rest now. How many times when things are going good that we slack up on prayer and seeking God's face? How many times when things are going good that we forget somehow that we were discouraged? Amen. So and immediately it came Amalek and attacked Israel. This attack from the Amalek, the enemy, came from nothing that they did on their part. They wasn't doing anything. They had just came out of a great victory. And so many times we are discouraged. The enemy wants to tell us that we've done something. That maybe we haven't prayed enough. That maybe we haven't fasted enough. That maybe we haven't read the word enough. Maybe we haven't come to church enough. They were just doing what they knew to do. They had just been delivered. Amen? And so they were just on their way to the promised land. And so, you know, we're on that way in our lives here on this earth. Amen? We are going to our forever home. We are on our way to our forever home. And I was telling them Wednesday night, we should never feel comfortable living on this earth. If we are feeling comfortable, we need to figure out how close our relationship with the God is. This world and the things that are going on should make us go, ooh. Amen. So we're all that way. You're going to find yourself in a battle, and we are in a continuous war. But be of good cheer, Jesus says. I've overcome the world, and so can you. So Ephesians says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and kingdoms. So what did God say for Moses to do in the war and in the battle and the conflict of walking that life out? Exodus 17 says he put Moses on top of the hill, and there, lifting up his hands in prayer, his armies under Joshua prevailed as long as Moses lifted up his arms in prayer. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They are spiritual. And things happen in our life that brings us to our knees sometimes in a crisis. And they come in the quiet place crying out to God for deliverance. And I believe that's one thing that this God is leading this church back to is prayer. Prayer based on the biblical principles of God's word. Amen. So get ready. You're going to be called to prayer. Victors are won by leaning on God. They are won by looking to heaven. They are won by trusting in the Lord and saying, Lord, we're going to pray until we see breakthrough. We're going to deny our flesh and fast it, not because it's going to do anything for you, God, but it's going to say, open my eyes up, Lord, that I may see. Amen. Open my eyes up that I may see. So they are won by looking to heaven and say, God, we're going to grab a hold of you, and we're not going to let you go until you come and do what you've promised that you would do in this church and through these people. We're not going to let you go until some people... Okay, I'm not going to say that, God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat, that was the king of Judah. They came against him in battle. And there were some that came to Jehoshaphat and said, there comes a great multitude among to you from beyond the sea. And Jehoshaphat feared. He became discouraged. But his discouragement led him to seek the Lord.
So may, if we're in a time of discouragement, that it don't make us run in fear, but it will make us turn toward God.
Right.
It will not be so prolonged that we enter in a season of depression, but the times of discouragement, as we look around and we think, what on earth is happening, that we allow that time to cause us to run to God and not from God. And so Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to what? Seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast, praying without even eating, and proclaimed a fast to all Judah. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. It's not in a large amount of numbers, people. It's just in a few folk getting together and saying, God, this is what we know that you said. Okay, let's run with it. Amen. So, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, the house of the Lord before the court, and said, Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rule not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand against thee? What a prayer. Verse 12 says, O God, we have no might against this great company. In other words, it's not within ourselves, but it's in who lives in us. It's the one that enables us. Against this great company that comes against us, we don't know what to do. Have you ever been to that place where you were so discouraged that you don't know what to do? It's okay to go before God and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I know that you do know what to do. It says, and all Judah, but our eyes upon you. Remember that scripture that I read at the beginning in 2 Corinthians? Says, so we fix our eyes not on what we see.
Right.
We fix our eyes not on what we see, but what is unseen. And it says, look into heaven there. They won by trust in the Lord. I've lost my page here, folks. Hold on just a second. And says, we don't know what to do, but we know that you know what to do. And it's all right to cry out to God. He's got big shoulders.
Right.
And it's not taking him by surprise either. And it's gathered himself to ask of help, your power might, so that none is able to withstand against you. So we have no might against this great company. So he gathered all the people together and called a prayer meeting. Amen. He called a prayer meeting, and all the people got together, and they began to cry out to God. Hearken, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Don't look at the multitude.
Right.
Don't look at how big your problem is. Look how big your God is.
Amen.
Amen. Don't look at how the situation, but look at how big your God is. And as you lean into him, he's leaning into you. Amen. Verse 7 says, 15 says, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. Do not be discouraged. I've come to encourage you. Don't be dismayed. And Jehoshaphat lowered his head, bowed his head and face to the ground, and all the people fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So they came before God, they said, God, this is what's happening. We heard the enemies coming against us. Jehoshaphat began to fear. He became discouraged at that point. The discouragement did not turn him away from God. The discouragement turned him toward God. So he called all the people together and said, okay, folks, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. So he gathered all the people together and he said, we don't know what to do, but we know that you know what to do.
Amen.
And then after they prayed, after they had the prayer meeting, they began to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. Amen. So when he had consulted the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. They hadn't defeated the army yet, but you know what prayer meetings do, folks?
Yeah.
They cause you to see that you've already won the victory. They will bring you back to a place that says, God for us, who could be against us? Amen. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. He said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get all the praise and worshipers together. You are a praiser and you are a worshiper, even though you don't stand on the platform. Amen. As they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, or when it is not translated, hallelujah, for his mercy endures forever. Out there in front of the army, the singers and the choir singing, hallelujah, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And that cost the Lord, that multitude of Ammonites and Moabites, there's them bites again. inhabitants of Seir to hear things. And when they were afraid, they slew one another. And after 3 days of gathering up the spoils, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beracha. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called this valley unto this day. Then they returned everyone to Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront, for the Lord had made them to rejoice. They came to Jerusalem with all their musical instruments, trumpets, into the house of the Lord. Praise and worship, after you get through praying, God will show you that you've got the victory over discouragement. Praise and worship will bring you into the presence of God, and it will encourage you like nothing else, because you will begin to see yourself, and your emotions will begin to line up with the Word and not running crazy. Amen? So you could not find a better illustration of prevailing prayer. To say, God, we don't know what to do. We know you know what to do. This is what you said would happen. We don't see it happening. Have we slacked up praying? Amen. Have we slacked up praying? And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. Going back to that again. And we let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. Church, we've got to lift our hands up again. We've got to encourage people again. We've got to lift our pastor's hands up like never before.
Amen.
Amen. We are in a battle.
Yes.
Amen. But Moses' hands were heavy. He was still human, just like you are and like all of us are. The word says his hands were heavy. He was a man. He was just a man made out of dust. And he could not keep his hands up. It's like being discouraged at times. And when you continue to go through the battle after battle after battle, you get fatigued and discouragement can set in. So I'm calling this church to prayer.
Amen.
Amen. I'm calling this church today back to prayer. And when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. When his hands were heavy, he couldn't hold them up. So Aaron and Hur, one on each side, stayed up until his hands, till the going down of the sun. So what does God want to teach us here? He wants us to teach us that there is no person that can do it by himself. We have God, we have each other, and if the church doesn't come together in agreement, how are we going to take what we learn in here to our communities and be a witness for God? Because it's like I said over and over again, even the world grows darker, but the church is going to go brighter. And pretty soon those people out there that are the maddest and so tormented by the evil one right now, pretty soon they're going to run somewhere to find deliverance. Because you can't live under that anger and that torment so long without it affecting you physically. So they're going to be running somewhere for deliverance. They're going to be running somewhere for answer, and we've got the answer. Amen. We have the answer. A man might be willing to do it by himself. He might try to do it by himself. People may be willing to do it by themselves. We might try to be able to want to do it by ourselves. But in the end, we won't succeed because we've stopped trusting God. We're still human. We're still weak. And we're still frail. But with God, all things are possible because nothing is impossible with God. So I decree and declare over this church that it's called back to prayer this day, November 16th, November the, what is today?
13th.
By the 16th, we'll see breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen. I'll call you to prayer this week. I want you to enter into a season of fasting, however God leads you to. That's none of my business. And I want you to begin to seek God, and I will let you know when we're going to open the doors of the church for prayer. And we're going to say, God, this church was established on your word, according to our pastors. And when something is established on the word of God, it cannot fail. If people come together and they say, this is what your word says, God, and we're going to stand on that word until we see breakthrough. We know the word that's taught here. Amen. We know the word is taught here. We don't want to see this place filled with people just to be filled with people. But when a church is filled with people, we know that they've come and they've gotten saved. They've gotten delivered. They've got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's like we were talking Wednesday night. I've never seen the church as a place for sinners. I've seen the church as a place where Christians can come and get fed the word of God, to take that word out there. Get the sinner saved with the word that you've been taught and say, hey, you need to come to new life. And we'll show you how, we'll teach you how to live life and how to live an abundant life.
Amen.
See, we want to drag the sinner to church. Why would a sinner come to church when they don't know what the church is even all about? Amen. So we are a place where people are come and they're taught the word of God. Amen. You take that word that you are taught. You go out there and you be a witness in somebody. Then you can say, come to church. Amen. You need the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to be taught the word on how to live life. And at the times that you are discouraged, we know the word of encouragement to give you. Amen. So God's doing a new thing. So let's stand this morning. And I just want you to reach over to your neighbor and lay hands on their shoulder. Amen. And I just stretch my hand out to you today. And if you're here today and you've been discouraged, I hope this word has encouraged you today. Amen. I hope this word has enlightened you today to say, keep on keeping on. God has anointed you with staying power. I love you, and I just don't want you to come to church to fill a pew, because you've got gifting and talents within you, and for some reason the devil has you blinded, has caused you to be so discouraged that you just think you just need to come to church Sunday after Sunday. God is going to begin to stir up those gifts and those talents within you, church. Don't be surprised if you're not waking up in the middle of the night, and I ask you to get a pen and paper and put beside your bed. God's going to start awakening some of you up, and he's going to start beginning to give you a fresh revelation of what you're called to do in the body of Christ. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are evangelists. Some of you are called to sweep the floor. Some of you are called to clean the bathrooms, because there's no big I's or little U's in the body of Christ. We're all here saved by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We all travel the same way. Amen. So there's gifting and talents within you, and I command those to be stirred up right now in the name of Jesus. That which is hidden in inside of you is being stirred up today as God calls you back to prayer again. Those things that are hidden within you is coming to the forefront. Some of you don't think you can sing, but you're going to begin to sing. Hallelujah. And there's going to be anointing upon that to carry the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you are anointed to teach. Some of you are anointed to do the youth. And you've wondered why you've been in intercession for the youth. God says, because I've anointed you to teach our youth and to bring them into relationship with God. And I decree and declare this over that body in the name of Jesus. And right now we just lift our hands and we just hold our pastor's hands up. We speak to them to be encouraged today, pastors. Be encouraged today. You have taught us the word. You have taught us the word, and that which we are so grateful for. The word that you have taught some of us have literally saved our lives. And we will forever be grateful to you. God is bringing you, even though the enemy has come in and he is wanting to kill, steal, and destroy. God says, I'm placing you to a covering, a place of rest. And even in that place of rest, and God says, I'm going to begin to speak to you, and I'm going to begin to give you fresh revelation. And even though you may not be seen in the forefront now, God says, I want you to rest the sure, the word that you have taught over the years, God says, it's not turned to me void. It's not returned back to me void, but I planted in the hearts of your sons and daughters that I have given you, and it will become to fruition. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So one last thing, I just want you to lay your hands on your belly and just say, the gifts within me, are being activated today. I will no longer allow them to lie dormant, but I call them to the forefront to be used in the body of Christ. In this church, my place of worship. Amen, amen. And I decree and declare over you that you're going to have a blessed week, that you serve the God that's God of more than enough, that you leave this place today encouraged, knowing that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you're going to find favor in everything that you put your hands to this week. That which the enemy has meant for harm, God is bringing you into a place of rest. And sometimes we just need to rest in the arms of God. So I say to you to be encouraged today. And Jesus loves you. Amen. Amen and amen. Be blessed.